Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman, and today I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, December 13, 2024. The first article from the front page is from Millikan University, and the title is Huge Tradition. Cookie Party brings students, staff and faculty together before finals, and it was written by Valerie Wells. Decatur. The line for Millikan University's 91st annual cookie party formed an hour before the party actually began. If there's one thing stressed out college students love, it's cookies. It's nice to have something every year to look forward to, said Ethan Keros, a senior from Paola, Kansas. It's a way for the university to get together to do something. Students, support staff and faculty all turn out for the cookie party every year, with entertainment provided by music students like the Multicultural Voices of Praise and the Saxophone Ensemble. I think it's a nice break right before finals week, said Drew Rakow of Aurora, also a senior. It lets us relax and have fun before we go in to do our final tests, and it's just a good break to have for all the students. Most students grabbed a plate and took a considerable pile of cookies. It's a great way to build community here at Millikan, said Nina English, a junior from Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's one of the only events that brings everybody here together on campus. The article is then continued onto page A2. The cookies are baked by members of the staff, donated by members of the Decatur community, or bought by the university, with 1,180 dozen cookies, 14,160 individual cookies, and any leftovers were donated to Northeast Community Fund, delivered personally by Wallace Sutherland, Vice President for Student Affairs. This is a huge university tradition, said Sutherland, decked out in a Santa hat and personally welcoming every student. First and foremost, we want to celebrate the holiday season. We want to fellowship with our students. We want to bring students, staff, and faculty together to wish everyone well before they go home. The last day of classes before the winter break is December 20, a bit later than usual, he said, because everything was pushed back this year due to the lateness of Thanksgiving Day. It's also a good way to release stress as students get ready for their final exams, Sutherland said. And while he had the students as a captive audience, so to speak, as they waited in line for their turn at the mounds of cookies, he reminded them to register for spring semester and to relax. This is a good way to say relax, he said. They're stressed out, burned out, and worried about exams. And with this article, there are two main photos from the front page. And the first one is captioned, Freshman Letty Hall, Junior Carly Cottage, and Senior Mary Stavansky pick out their selections of cookies during the 91st annual cookie party at Millikan University in Decatur on Wednesday. And the second photo is captioned, Students stock up on holiday cookies during the 91st annual cookie party at Millikan University. And the photo is of a very delicious selection of cookies, all very festive, with Santa Claus, Christmas trees, and lots more. And the last two photos are captioned, on the left, a saxophone choir plays carols for students during the 91st annual cookie party at Millikan University in Decatur on Wednesday. And the second photo is of students line up for over 14,000 cookies during the 91st annual cookie party at Millikan University in Decatur on Wednesday. And the photos were courtesy of Joseph Ressler Photos from the Herald and Review. And the next article is also written by Valerie Wells, and it's from the front page, and the title is Heritage Health. $43.8 million grant may speed up move. Behavioural health service provider to relocate to Northgate. Decatur. Heritage Behavioural Health Centre's move to Northgate Mall may happen sooner than originally thought. the Illinois Capital Development Board and the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services has given Heritage a $43.8 million grant to support renovations and relocation Heritage's main downtown building to the newly acquired Northgate property at 2800 North Water Street. The property was donated to Heritage by the Andreas family in memory of Mick Andreas, who died in July 2021. "We got really lucky," said Mary Garrison, president and CEO of Heritage. "I'm so honoured and humbled. I can't believe it." And this article is then continued onto page A2. Heritage applied for the grant last summer and expected to hear if they'd been chosen by September, but just got the news and the amount was more than Garrison expected. "The whole project was estimated to cost $50 million, she said, "so this grant makes a big difference. Costs will probably go up in the next 2 years," she said, "but with a $50 million budget, this is taking a huge part of that." Heritage had already done much of the preliminary work with architects, she said, "and with the infusion of cash, renovations can proceed almost immediately, shortening the original 3 to 5 year timeline closer to 3 years. We have the freedom to now look at the project and not be strapped by money," Garrison said. "That's really helpful. The timeline was longer because we thought we'd have to run a capital campaign, and that takes a while." Heritage has served the area for 68 years with mental health services that include Macon, Piatt and DeWitt counties, with more than 7,500 clients at 11 locations. Programs include mental health and substance abuse screening and assessment, Oasis Day Centre, crisis intervention, primary care, psychiatric care, overdose prevention and harm reduction supplies, school-based therapy, residential stays for substance abuse disorder, short-term crisis stay, homelessness services, individual and group therapy. The five-story downtown location is inadequate to provide all those services, and the youth and family services and executive offices were relocated temporarily to 2965 North Main Street in the space formerly occupied by Tater's Family Grill. Heritage will occupy nearly all of the Northgate Mall when renovations are complete, and all 53 programs and 300 employees will be under one roof in the 130,000 square foot property. The only remaining occupant of the once busy strip mall is Discover Church, which will remain in its location. Not everyone is pleased at the prospect of Heritage's move. St. Teresa High School has raised concerns about having Heritage so close to the school, whose parking lot is just across the street from Northgate, where 215 students between the ages of 14 and 18 attend classes. The school has said its plans are to file a legal challenge to the move once formal building permits or zoning change requests have been submitted by Heritage. And with this article, there is a photo of Mary Garrison. And moving on to page A3 in today's paper, in local and state news. And the first article is, "Dog sex video leads to warrants. Decatur police seek Facebook information on video location." And it was written by Tony Reed. Decatur: police attempts to unravel more details about the disturbing video of a woman having sex with a dog have resulted in warrants requesting information being served on Facebook. Detective Sergeant Brian Earls with the Decatur Police Department said the issue is where the video was shot, as that will influence which law enforcement agency would have the job of prosecuting the 29-year-old woman involved. "If we get lucky and Facebook comes back with the warrant and it's got location data, then we can say, okay, it happened right here. And then we can prosecute it if it's in our county," Earls explained. "And if not, we can take it to whatever county it is and they can take a look at the case and see if they are going to do anything with it." Narrowing down where the video was taken is the really difficult part, because when you go to court, you have to show that the court has relevant jurisdiction. And showing with 100% certainty that something occurred in our location or somebody else's location can be very difficult to do. Asked how long it might take Facebook to reply, Earl said he had seen similar warrants seeking information come back within a couple of days to a couple of months. The video came to the attention of the City Police in April when a copy of it was passed on to the department after being given to Macon County Animal Control officers. The woman involved has since been identified and was known as having been a resident of Decatur at some point in the past. Similar outrageous videos have appeared on social media from time to time and led some critics to question them as being faked rather than real. Earl said, however, that officers who have seen this particular video have told him that, oh yeah, it's real, but Earl said he's avoided watching it himself. No, I have not personally seen it, he added. I've seen enough depravity in my life, and so I avoided that one. The investigation is being treated as a case of animal cruelty. And also by Tony Reid is the next article, Man Charged with Shooting at Decatur Woman. Decatur. Adrian V. Wilson is accused of driving up to a woman's car on a Decatur street and opening fire with multiple gunshots. A sworn affidavit from the Decatur Police Department said the attack happened in the 3100 block of North MacArthur Road just before 1 a.m. November 3, and the victim had no problem recognising her assailant. The 19-year-old victim said she observed Adrian driving the vehicle next to her and pointing a black handgun at her before firing multiple shots at her vehicle, the affidavit said. Police on scene found three spent .45 caliber shell casings and said a check of the shooter's Chevrolet Impala car registration confirmed the 28-year-old Wilson to be its owner, and it didn't take officers long to find him too, if only briefly. Officers who were present at Decatur Memorial Hospital observed the same dark-coloured Chevrolet Impala pull up to the main emergency department entrance a short time after receiving the shots fired call from dispatch, the affidavit added. Officers at DMH identified Adrian Wilson as the driver of the Impala as he exited the front driver's seat and quickly left the scene in a different vehicle before he could be detained. Police finally caught up with Wilson and arrested him November 12. He was arraigned November 13 in Macon County Circuit Court and denied pretrial release on the grounds he posed too much of a danger to the public. He was back in court November 27 and waived a preliminary hearing before entering not guilty pleas to two charges alleging the aggravated discharge of a gun. Wilson also denied the reckless discharge of a firearm and the aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. The affidavit offers no motive for the shooting, and it's not the only criminal case the defendant is facing. On the same November 27 court appearance, he entered a not guilty plea on a separate charge alleging the aggravated battery of a different female victim. Wilson is due back in court for a pretrial hearing on both the gun and battery offences, January 8. There is a photo with this article of Adrian Wilson. And continuing from page A3 in local briefs, the first article is Saturday Trees on the Tees Ticket Holders Can Switch Days. Decatur. With the possibility of rain in the forecast, Trees on the Tees organisers are giving Saturday, December 14, ticket holders the option of selecting a different day to attend the holiday event. Choices include Thursday, December 12, Friday, December 13, and Sunday, December 15. We recognise that Saturday may be the only available option for some families, the Decatur Park District stated in a news release. As of now, Trees on the Tees event for the Saturday is not being cancelled, and efforts will be made to ensure the best possible experience for everyone. For the guests who choose a different day, organisers said they should arrive at the same time stated on their ticket, with one exception. For CART ticket holders, scheduled for 5 p.m. Saturday, if they choose to attend Sunday, they should arrive after 6 p.m. due to walkers beginning at 5 p.m. No new tickets will be distributed. Bring the original tickets and arrive at the originally scheduled time. And the next article is Milliken sets send-off party for Miss America contestant. Decatur. 2024 Miss Illinois and 2019 Milliken University graduate Brianna Bagley will be the honoree as her alma mater hosts a send-off party before she prepares to compete in the 2025 Miss America pageant. The free event will be from 2:30 to 5 p.m. Saturday, December 14, in the Bob and Debbie Johnston Banquet Rooms on the third floor of the University Commons on Milliken's campus. Guests will have a viewing of Bagley's Miss America wardrobe, guest speakers and performers, and light refreshments. Registration is requested with a number of people attending to missillinois24@gmail.com. A Decatur native, Bagley graduated from Milliken with a bachelor's degree in communications. She went on to attend the Southern Illinois University School of Law. Bagley was crowned Miss Illinois 2024 in June, reserving her a spot in the Miss America competition. The competition will be held December 31 through January 5, when the winner will be crowned in Orlando, Florida. And the last article is First Responders to Compete in Gurney's Guns and Hoses Contest. Decatur. Local first responders will be out again this holiday season at the local Red Kettles for the Salvation Army's Gurney's Guns and Hoses Bell Ringing Competition. Members of the Decatur Police Department, the Macon County Sheriff's Office, and Decatur and Macon County Firefighters will be encouraging donations on Friday and Saturday, December 13 and 14, at both Walmart locations as well as the Kroger stores in Brentwood Village and Airport Plaza. This year, Abbott EMS, Mount Zion Police, and Blue Mound Police will join the competition. The first responders will be ringing bells at the Decatur Salvation Army Red Kettles, as well as have their own virtual kettles to make online donations. The group that raises the most money will be declared the 2024 winner. The event has raised over $200,000 to support the programs of the Salvation Army since it began 13 years ago. Bell ringing locations. Macon County Sheriff, Walmart North, Pharmacy Door on Friday and Saturday. Decatur Police, Walmart North, Food Door on Friday and Saturday. County Fire Department, Walmart East, Food Door on Friday and Saturday. Decatur Fire Department, Walmart East, Pharmacy Door on Friday and Saturday. Abbott EMS, Brentwood Village Kroger on Friday. Mount Zion and Blue Mound Police, Airport Plaza Kroger on Saturday. And that information was from Herald and Review staff. And the next article from page A3 is from Coles County. Charleston Mattoon Chambers hold community breakfast at Emerald Acres Fieldhouse. And it was written by Rob Stroud. Mattoon. More than 500 community members turned out Thursday morning for the community breakfast at the Emerald Acres Sports Connections newly opened Sarah Bush Lincoln Fieldhouse. The event, organised by the Charleston Area Chamber of Commerce and Mattoon Chambers of Commerce, was held in one corner of the gym floor at this 140,000 square foot field house at Swords Drive and Woodell Way. Looking out at the breakfast attendees, Mattoon Chamber Executive Director Ed Dowd said they had barely scratched the surface of the space available on the gym's 75,000 square foot hardwood floor area. It's such an incredible opportunity to open up this facility to our community, said Sports Complex General Manager Tyler Yoder during his keynote address. To be able to see over 500 members of our community here in this building today is just an absolutely incredible experience. The breakfast followed the grand opening celebration that was held on December 6 and 7 at the field house of the Emerald Acres Sports Connection, which is owned and operated by Mattoon Sports Complex Incorporated. Yoda said the field house offers 8 basketball, 16 volleyball courts in a gym that can host other indoor sports as well. The facility also offers an arcade and a cafe, which Hubbard's Downtown Diner of Mattoon utilised to cater breakfast. 4 events rooms are available for rentals there. In addition to the Fieldhouse's core purpose of promoting sports tourism, Yoda said they are open to hosting other types of events there to meet the needs of the community. "We want to be able to use this venue to act as a convention centre for our community as well," Yoda said. "With the space that we do have, we can host great events such as this one." Yoda said the second phase of Emerald Acres Sports Connection is scheduled to open in summer 2026 with the outdoor facilities to the southeast along Interstate 57. He said these facilities will include 4 baseball and softball fields plus 12 multi-purpose fields. "It's going to be a complete game changer in our community and in our region," Yoda said of the outdoor complex. Yoda said Emerald Acres organisers have estimated that the completed sports complex and the adjacent shopping area will bring in more than 580,000 visitors annually, including 60,000 hotel stays. He said this will have $23 million in direct economic impact in the Mattoon area. Mattoon-based Rural King donated 110 acres for the development of the sports complex. As part of the Emerald Acres project, Rural King also has opened 40 adjacent acres it owns to commercial development. Beals Home Centric, Chick-fil-A, Famous Footwear, Five Below, Michaels and Sports Clips have opened in recent weeks in the Emerald Acres area, and Chipotle opened on Wednesday. Sites for Panda Express and other businesses are under construction there, while a Fairfield Inn and Suites is being built by the Fieldhouse. "We, as Coles County residents and the surrounding communities, will benefit from the growth and the development that this complex has brought to our county for many years to come," said Charleston Chamber President and CEO Colleen Peterlich. And with this article, there are 4 photos, and the main one is captioned, "Emerald Acres Sports Connection Events Manager J.R. Hodges leads a tour in the balcony of the Sarah Bush Lincoln Fieldhouse after the community breakfast on Thursday morning at this facility in Mattoon." And the next photo is captioned, "Emerald Acres Sports Connection General Manager Tyler Yoda at Centre poses for a photo with Charleston Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Colleen Peterlich and Mattoon Chamber Executive Director Ed Dowd after the community breakfast on Thursday morning at this facility in Mattoon. And the next photo is captioned, "More than 500 attendees turned out for the community breakfast that was held on Thursday morning in a corner of the Emerald Acres Sports Connections cavernous Sarah Bush Lincoln Fieldhouse in Mattoon." And the last photo is captioned, "The cafe at the Emerald Acres Sports Connections Sarah Bush Lincoln Fieldhouse served as an informal networking area for attendees after the community breakfast on Thursday morning at the Fieldhouse in Mattoon. Hubbard's Downtown Diner of Mattoon used the cafe's kitchen to help cater this event," and all photos were courtesy of Rob Stroud. I'll now include the 4-day forecast for Decatur from page B10 in weather. And today, cloudy and not as cold, and the wind is from the east at 8 to 16 miles per hour, and the temperature 36 degrees. And tonight, overcast. The wind will be from the east-southeast at 8 to 16 miles per hour, and the temperature will be 29 degrees. And on Saturday, it'll be breezy with rain, and the wind will be from the southeast at 12 to 25 miles per hour, with a high of 44 degrees and a low of 41 degrees. And on Sunday, there'll be low clouds. The wind will be from the southwest at 6 to 12 miles per hour, with a high of 51 degrees and a low of 40 degrees. And on Monday, rain and a thunderstorm. It'll be mild and the wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 56 degrees and a low of 31 degrees. And in regional outlook, cloudy and not as cold today. Little or no sunshine with average relative humidity 65% and fair drying conditions. Overcast tonight, average relative humidity 80%. And in Skywatch, sunrise 7:08 a.m. and sunset will be at 4:31 p.m. and moonrise will be at 2:50 p.m. and moonset will be at 5:19 a.m. There'll be a full moon on December 15, the last quarter December 22, a new moon December 30, and the first quarter January 6. And in snowfall, Wednesday, trace. Month to date, normal, 0.5 inches. Season to date, 0.5 inches. Last season to date, trace. A record for this date, 4.0 inches, 1960. And in Today in History, for December 13, today's highlight. On December 13, 2003, Saddam Hussein was captured by US forces while hiding in a hole under a farmhouse in Adwar, Iraq, near his hometown of Tikrit. And also on this date in 1862, Union forces led by Major General Ambrose Burnside launched futile attacks against entrenched Confederate soldiers during the Civil War Battle of Fredericksburg. The soundly defeated Northern troops withdrew 2 days later. And in 1937, during the Second Sino-Japanese War, Japanese soldiers massacred an estimated 200,000 to 300,000 citizens, war prisoners and soldiers in the Chinese city of Nanjing. And in 1996, the UN Security Council chose Kofi Annan of Ghana to become the world's body's 7th Secretary General. And in 2000, Republican George W. Bush claimed the presidency a day after the US Supreme Court shut down further recounts of disputed ballots in Florida. Democrat Al Gore conceded, delivering a call for national unity. And in 2001, the Pentagon publicly released a captured videotape of Osama bin Laden, in which the al-Qaeda leader said the deaths and destruction achieved by the September 11 attacks exceeded his most optimistic expectations. And on this day, December 13, in 2007, Major League Baseball's Mitchell Report was released, identifying 85 names to differing degrees in connection with the alleged use of performance-enhancing drugs, and that information was from the Associated Press. I'll take a short break and return with the second half of today's reading of selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, December 13, 2024, read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.